Daf Chavavam and Aleph, with regarding the sale of the Beis HaKnesses. Omer of Ashi, we saw this yesterday. Hi, Beik Nishta, Demata Machasya, Afal Gav, Devi Alma, Asule, Kamen Diadaiti Didi, Kasi, Ibeino Mizdavni, Mizdavni Le. So the Rambam codifies this halacha. In Perek Yud Aleph Halach Yud Tes, in Bono Bnei Ha'ir Al Das Adam Echad, Kol Masha Oso So Echad Osli, Venosein Levado Kifima Sheyiralo. So the Rambam writes that if the Beis Knesses was built Al Das one particular individual, then he makes the decision. And the Kesef Mishnah writes that it seems from the Rambam that he can sell even Shalom B'Mamed Anshei Ha'ir. The Ran, on the other hand, writes that he needs the Haskom of Anshei Ha'ir. And the Magen Avraham comments that the reason for the Ran is because, for sure, they didn't have Das when they built the synagogue, that Yochid could sell the Beis Knesses without their permission. The significance of building a Beis Knesses al Das Yochid is that they don't need Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, but rather they need Maimad Anshei Ha'ir. So Bli Neder will have to come back to this and see if we can analyze this in the light of the difference between Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir and their function, and Maimad Anshei Ha'ir and their function. And it sounds like we're differentiating between Dine Bailus and Dine Kedusha, or maybe Chalos Staka, that as far as the Bailus is concerned, the Anshei Ha'ir are not giving, they're not willing to forfeit their Bailus here, and therefore they want a condition that this individual get their permission to sell the Beis Knesses. As far as Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, which touches on Leib Beis Din Masne or some sort of dinim in Gaboy Tztoka, that's where we can waive those elements, those conditions, in favor of the one person that Al Daito they built the Beis Knesses. The Bir Aloch and Kufnun Gimel writes that the Magen Avraham seems to imply that without the Das of the Anshei Ha'ir, without their agreement, the Mechira is not meaningful. It's not valid, even in Kfarim. Now, why is it that Mata Machasya can be sold? The Beis Knesset Mata Machasya, Tosus Dir Maschel Kevan, says that even though Mata Machasya is a Beis Knesset Shel Krochim, people come from the whole world there, nevertheless, since it was built Al Daito, the Ravashi in this case, Al Das HaYochid, then there's a Rishus to sell the Beis HaKnesses. And the Beis Yosef writes in Kufnun Gimel in the name of the Nemuke Yosef that until Ravashi came and set up his domicile there, they weren't generally coming from other places around the world. When they originally built the Beis HaKnesses, it was not Hugdash, it wasn't designated for the Rabbim. And therefore it had in the initial stage of its building, it had the status of a Beis Knesset Shel Kfarim, and therefore Mechira is meaningful. The Pnei Yoshua brings a Gemara in Ksubis that Mata Machasi is not a Krach. It's a little bit more than a Kfar, but it's not yet a Krach. But since Rav Ashi was the Reish Masifta, and everybody was dependent upon him, therefore they came in from other places of the world into the Beis HaKnesses. And Rav Ashi therefore formulated this halachic principle that since Adaiti Didikasi, therefore it doesn't have the din of a Beis Knesses, Shel Krochim, and therefore can be sold. Now, yesterday we discussed Tumas Negoyim in the Makom Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Makom Migdash, since it was Lo Nischalkel Shvatim, and it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, it's not Achuzaschem, and therefore there's no there's no Kabbalist Tumah in the base in the Mokum HaMikdash. There's no Tumas Negoyim. As far as the rest, the balance of Yerushalayim, he holds Rabbi Yehuda that Nischalko Yerushalayim L'Shvatim, and therefore it does come under Achuzaschem, and it's subject to Tumas Negoyim. Tanakam, on the other hand, holds that Lo Nischalko Yerushalayim L'Shvatim, and therefore the entire Yerushalayim is Mufka from Tumas Negoyim. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Makom HaMikdash was also Nischalik L'Shvatim, like we saw in the Braisa yesterday, that there was Chelko Shebinyamin on the Tzad Mizrach and Chelko Sheyehuda on the Tzad Meirav. So why is it that in the Makom HaMikdash there's no Kabbalas Tumas Negoyim? So if you take a look at Rashi, Dimraschal Ani, he writes that the bias shel kodesh hu ubenegoyim ksiv, this is Gemara Yoma that we mentioned yesterday, uba shel lo bias, that has to be lo l'chol tzrachav, as opposed to makom kadosh, which is not mutu l'chol tzrachav. So it seems that when David purchased the makom HaMikdash from the Arnon, from Arona HaYavusi, he collected funds from all the Shvatim for that, so that all the Shvatim were Shutvim, were partners, and it's not a bias HaMiyuchad Lo to any individual. Therefore, there's no Tumas Negoyim. So even though Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the Makom HaMikdash itself was included in the Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael, the Schalkal Shvatim, there's Yehuda and there's Binyam, but nevertheless, insofar as the Torah says in the Parsha Negoyim, Ubo Asher Lo HaBayis, and as far as the Makom HaMikdash, there was a Shutfis of all Klal Yisrael, it's therefore not Lo HaBayis L'Tzrachav. And we could add an element of the dimension of Kedusha here. Now, as far as Yerushalayim Lo Nischalko L'Shvatim, so if you look at Tosfos and Baba Kama Pei Beis, they write that it doesn't mean that even according to his Shita Nischalka, right, when we talk about Yerushalayim, whether it's Nischalka or Lo Nischalka, but rather he says Nasnu Dushna Shal Yericho Tachtel Lefichach Eino Mitame. Okay, fine. In other words, according to the Yom Lo Nischalka, it seems that Lo Nischalka Klal, there was no chiluk at all if you hold Lo Nischalka. And that's a difficult position. Maybe we'll talk about that. We mentioned the Chazon Ish yesterday. Maybe we'll get a chance to get back to that later on. Now, in Mirza Hashem, we're going to talk about the Ramam Shita that L'kuli alma b'tchila nischalk Yerushalayim l'shevet binyamin v'yehuda. And what it means is that according to the Ma'an Yomar, lo nischalk l'shvatim means lo amda b'chalukasa el shenasnu dushna shayiricho b'mokom Yerushalayim. And B'li Neder, today we'll talk a little bit about Haskaras Mitos b'Yerushalayim, the statement of Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik, that since Yerushalayim is Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, according to that Ma'an D'Yomar, therefore, you cannot rent out space in Yerushalayim, and not even the Mitos, even though the Mitos L'Chora has a Din Metaltalin, and there should be personal private bailus, so why can't they rent out the Mitos? That's a question that we have to address. Now, we spoke about Rechov HaShal'ir. Let's just reiterate that according to Chachamim, Rechov HaShal'ir ein bo mishum kedusha, and the reason for that is because it's a Kroy B'Alma. They only pray there on a temporary basis, only on a tainis. Doesn't have the kedusha of a regular Beis HaKnesses that's singled out exclusively for tefillah. The Magen Avraham and Kufnu Dalit brings the Marit that in the Azara of the Beis HaKnesses, which sometimes if there's an overflow crowd, they daven in the vestibule outside of the sanctuary, then that should have the same status as Rechov HaShel Ir, in which case it's Tefillah B'Kroi B'Alma. But the Marit has a tzad here that maybe that's called Tefillah B'Tadir, since it can happen on any particular day, not on every day, but on any day, that there would be an overflow crowd and they would daven in the Azara. In any event, the Ritva, which we mentioned a few days ago, holds that even according to Chachamim, that Rechov HaShel Ir ein bo mishum kedusha, that's only as far as Mechir is concerned, and you're allowed to sell it even for Tzar Chulin, but nevertheless, before it's sold, it should be treated with a certain proper, let's say, Miktsas Kedusha, to the exclusion of Divrei Bizoyon. Since it is designated at certain times on Tainios for Tefillah. Keep in mind that yesterday we mentioned the Marsha's Kasha about this Chofef Ol of Kol HaYom with regard to Binyamin, and how could it be that Bizchus the Tsar of Binyamin Zocha Menasa Ushpichon Lishchina, if he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that he wasn't going to have the whole Mokom HaMizbeach. Good.
There's some bright here.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, we have some very good light over here. And now it's a little bit cloudy, but when it gets sunny, it's beautiful here. And yeah, there's some leakage here, some bitivut. Yeah, hopefully they'll fix it up. But in the meantime, I think it's okay to learn here. Mentioned the possibility that Nasa Ushpizchan Lashchina is a reference to the Aron Kodesh, the Kruvim. And we mentioned yesterday, because of the Tsar of Binyamin, he was zochet to get the Aron Kodesh in the Kodesh Kadosh, in his chelik, not in the chelik of Yehuda. So today what we want to start is the Gemara about Mitos. So this is on Chavav Amin Aleph. And we're almost at the bottom of the Amud. If you count up 5 lines before the end of Chavav Amin Aleph, you'll see a quote of a braisa, Desanya ein maskirim batim b'Yerushalayim. So we're talking about Oli Regel, and they come to Yerushalayim, and they want to rent space, and they're willing to pay for it. They want to stay over in Yerushalayim. But the Toshavei Yerushalayim are not allowed to take rent for that. They don't have any rights, shall we say, ownership rights on the homes in Yerushalayim. So, you know, we always applaud people today who buy in the old city. It's not easy to buy in the old city. There's not that much available. But it could be that Kshibonet Beis HaMikdash, just on a level of real estate, not sure if the old city of Yerushalayim is the best place to invest. Because the Gemara says, at least according to this Tana, and that's the Tanakam, who holds that Lo Nischalka Yerushalayim L'Shvatim, you cannot rent space in Yerushalayim. You don't own your house in Yerushalayim. There's no private ownership, because it was never given to private ownership. So we mentioned yesterday that there's a Chazanish who says that even according to the Man D'Yomer, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, it means they were machalik Yerushalayim. He has many different proofs for that from Tanakh. But the condition was that this chus shimush would remain for all Klal Yisrael. So it could be, according to the Chazanish, you do have private ownership over your home in Yerushalayim, However, as far as using the property is concerned, the use of the property belongs to everyone. Now, again, you'll ask me, so what good is it owning a piece of property in Yerushalayim if I have no use for it, if it belongs to everybody? I don't know. That has to be ironed out. So we would have to go through the Chazon Ish, which is in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Chav Vav. Now the Braisa says the following. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Aflo Mitos. Not only is it outside of your range to rent out the house and the use of the karka in Yerushalayim, because lo neschalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim, but even beyond that, you can't even charge rent for the beds. Somebody wants to sleep in the beds in your apartment, you want to charge them rental for use of the bed. The bed is metaltalin, it's not karka. So even if the karka of Yerushalayim was not divvied up for private ownership, but if I own a mita, I mean, you have to pay me rent for using the mita. No, says Rabbi Lozar, you can't even take rent for the mita. So if you like to look at Tosas, Dira Maschel Aflo Mitos, Pirusha Rav Rabbeinu Yosef, Disvirle, the Kevin Shakarka, Mokoma Mitos, Veloyim Yuchad Labailan. So even though the mitos are certainly metaltalin, but the karaka is called a mokoma mitos. And therefore, lo ayakoach biyodom laskirom. I can't rent out a mito if I don't have rights and ownership rights to the karaka, which is the mokoma mito. The mito is not some object that floats through the air. You know, it's grounded. Umikomoko machmas metaltalin hoyinotlin oros hakodshim. Now we'll see what Tosis means at the end by reading the next line in the Brice. So the Brice says, Lefichach, since the people sleeping in their beds would not pay them rental fee for the beds, so the Chacham made a takana that Oros Kodshim, and we're talking about the hides of a Korban Todah or a Korban Shlomim, where the hides belong to the Bailim, is Baliush Pizin Notlin Osam Bizroah. The Chacham made a takana that the host, who's called the Baal Achsanya, he has the right to collect these oros. In other words, people are coming to Yerushalayim, once they're there for Aliyah Regel, they bring a karbon, they bring a todah, if they say they had some sort of special salvation, or they bring a karbon shlomim. And the oros, even though they belong to the Bailim, nevertheless, the Chacham made a takana, they have to give it over to the Bali Achsanya, to the host who allows them to sleep in their bed. But in any event, you see clearly that this Tana holds that Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. It was lo neschalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, and that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, actually. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that. Oh no, no, I'm yeah, sorry. This is the Chachamim, I think, yeah. Right? The Chachamim. Yeah. Okay. Let's just see a little bit of Agadita here. It's a one line Agadita here. Omar Abaye, Shmami No. This is really a tangent. From this takana, we derive an ethical principle that Orach Ara, it's Derech Eretz, Lemishbak Inish Gulfa Umashcha Buushpiza. You know, sometimes when you're a guest in someone's home, or even if you're staying in an inn and you're paying rent, but there are certain little things called Gulfa Umashcha that are not of tremendous value. So instead of taking them home with you, Abai says it's derech eretz to leave them as, so to speak, a tip, mm-hmm. a gift for the bailam, to show appreciation, the sense of appreciation. You can take them home, but you could, you know, like for example, even in our times, there might be certain bottles, you know, you use up a bottle, but you can still recycle it. So leave the bottle for the bialim. Again, it's worth a couple of kopekas, but that's hakaras hatov. And Abai derives it from this takana that we saw of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who allows the Ushpiza, the Baal Achsanya, to take the Oros in lieu of the fact that he allowed the people to live in his and sleep in his beds. So that's a kind of a moral derivation here. Now, it could be possible that according to the strict letter of the law, because you take a look at that last line of Tosis, Machmas Metalten are you notlin Oros HaKodshim. And when he says Machmas Metalten, he might be saying that according to the strict letter of the law, you can take schar on the mitos insofar as they are Metalten. Even if Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvotim, the mitos are absolutely privately owned. But you can't take schar for another reason. That's called the siag. What we're worried about is that people are going to do a harama. They're going to say, you know what, I'm taking rent, but they're not going to admit that they're taking rent for the apartment, because that they can't do, so they'll hide it and they'll say, oh, I'm taking rent for the use of the metaltalin. When in truth, they are charging much more than just the use of the beds. They're charging a full rental fee. So in order to avoid such a harama, the Chazal made a takana that they shouldn't be able to charge even for the mitos. But since again, if not for this takana, Mikra Adin, they could be able to charge for the mitos, because even if they don't own the karka in a private way, but they certainly own the mitos, the metaltal, in a private way. Nor of us, we made a takana and a siag that if we allow them to charge for the mitos, they'll end up charging for the house itself. And with Harama, they'll say, well, I'm not taking money for the house, I'm just taking money for the use of the mitos. So that's already a Rabbanon. The Rabbanon with this siag, they block them from collecting what's really coming to them according to the strict letter of the law, according to Choshen Mishpat. So therefore, there has to be some element of reimbursement for what Mikra did they could have taken money for, and therefore the Chacham made a takana. That's what we see here in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that you can force these Ole Regel to give you, as the Baal Achsanya, the Oros of Toda and Shlomo. Okay, now we get to the main sugya for today. Omar Rava. So that's two lines up from the bottom of the Omit. Omar Rava. Our Mishnah says that if the Bnei Akfar decide to sell the Rechov Ha'ir or the Beis HaKnesses, then the domim that they receive in lieu of the sale requires aliyah. Aliyah means it's got to be ma'aleh b'kodesh. Omar Rav Aloshanu, when do we have this restriction that the monies that were received for the sale of the Beis HaKnesses must be used for an aliyah of kedusha? You have to be ma'aleh domim b'kedushasam. You're not allowed to be morid domim b'kedushasam. Ella, that's only in a case of shalom machru shiva tove ha'ir b'maymar anshe ha'ir. Avali machru shiva tove ha'ir b'maymar anshe ha'ir. Is then, once you have these two conditions met, there's no kedusha, neither in the Beis HaKnesses nor in the domim that were received as payment for the sale by the buyer of purchasing the Beis HaKnesses, and therefore the seller can use the money for anything. Afilu, you take a look here on Chavavim and Beis Lemishta Beis Shichra, even to buy with this money Sheikhar, to buy
whiskey,
schnapps, beer, whatever you want to do with the money, you could do with the money. A shopper dummy, you're allowed to do so. Again, we're talking about a kfar. Let's keep that in mind. There is a heter mechira to sell a Beis Knesses in a kfar. Again, in a Beis Knesses in a krach, they can't sell it at all, even with Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, even with Maimon Anshei Ha'ir. However, when we're talking about a kfar, then the Beis Knesses in a kfar can be sold, and if they're sold in the Maimon of Anshei Ha'ir and Tuvei Ha'ir, then the monies can be used for anything, even to buy beer. if they weren't sold in Maimed Anshei Ha'ir and Maimed Tuvei Ha'ir, then we have a restriction. The money can only be used for an Aliyas Kedusha, to go up in the level of Kedusha. So that's what we have here in Rava. Now we want to take a look at the Gilyon HaShas. And in order to appreciate this Gilyon HaShas here, which you have on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, you have it?
I don't think so.
You don't have the Gilyon HaShas. Okay, so I'm going to read it for you, but first, let's read together the Rashi. Dibra Maska Lo Shonu. So that's four lines up from the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. Lo Shonu Di Ein Moridin Domi Kedushasam. When are you restricted in terms of the money that you receive for the sale of the Beis Knesses? And not only that, Beis Knesses bit. Here we're going to read it the way the Bakri is a big Kedusha, so Omed. And the Beis Knesses still remains Kadosh even after the sale. Afbi Adalokeach. And therefore the buyer has to consider it as Beis Knesses with all the restrictions and the sanctity of the Beis Knesses. And Rashi says, do me this foreign. Like if you sell a Sefer Torah, then the buyer has to treat it as a Sefer Torah with all the dinim of Sefer Torah. That's Ella Shalom Machru. It wasn't sold. HaTovim Birshusa'a. Tovim means the Tuveir, and Birshusa'a means B'maimet Anshe'ir. Avalim Machru V'chule. If the Beis Knesses in the Kfarim was sold with those two conditions, right, Shiva Tuveir b'maimed Anshe'ir, then Poka Kedusha min HaChefetz u'min HaDomim. Now, whatever was sold, whether it be Rechov HaShalir, whether it be Beis Knesses, completely loses its Kedusha, and the Domim that received in lieu of this sale also have no restrictions. U'mutalasus me'am kol ritzonon, and you can do whatever you want with it. V'hainu duboy minei Ravina miravashi. And that we'll see in the Safek Ravina, Al Tila Beik Neshta Maulun Mizre. He wanted to know if after he sells the Beis Knesses, if he could take the land and he can plant and plow in it and grow. Alma Bimecha Koldu Abais Vamos Bikdushaso Kaime. It means that if there was a Mecher, Koldu meaning without the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir, without the Maimon Anshe'ir, then the Mos have to be used B'Kedusha, and therefore Ma'alim B'Kodesh. And number two, the Bayis itself also remains in its state of Kedusha. That's in the case of Mechira Koldu. And that's what Rashi says at the beginning, Lo Shanu Di'ein Moridin Domim. Our Mishnah says that you need Ma'alim B'Domim, and the Bnei Sakneses remains in its Kedusha, that's only if it was not sold by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir and B'maimed Anshei Ha'ir. If it was sold by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir and the Maimed Anshei Ha'ir, then it loses its Kedusha. The Domim can be used for anything. And that's what we saw here on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, is Afilu L'Mishta Bei Shikra. Okay, that means that the Mishta Bei Shikra means that the Domim have no Kedusha and you can buy beer with them. Now there's another Girsa here, you'll take a look in the Bach, and the Bach has a Girsa that says Ula Mishta Bei Peri. In other words, even to use the Karka, which was purchased by the Lokeach for setting up his fruits, even that's Mutta. Because what? Since it was sold B'shiva tuve'ir b'maybet anshe'ir, therefore it's poka kedushaso menachefetz. That's Rashi's language here. So I'm going to try to read the Gilyon HaShas. Mevor, what we see from Rashi is the svile l'Rashi, the belav mamad anshe'ir, if it wasn't sold with the agreement of the people of the city, then ein moridin domim mikdusha. Some of them gam a beis haknesses bechashivuso omed. Oh. So that's all in a case where you didn't have Maimer Anshei Ha'ir. Ube Maimer Anshei Ha'ir Beis HaKnesses Vadom Yotzim L'Chulin. Right, because Rashi says two lines up from the bottom, Paka Kedush Oso.
That's if you had both.
If you had both conditions met. V'tamu Ali Mizeh Divrei Rashi L'Kamon Chav Zayin Amid Beis Divrei Amastel V'Rabbanon. So if you open up to Chav Zayin Amid Beis, the second line in Rashi starts Divrei Amastel V'Rabbanon, and if you fast forward to line 3, you'll see a line in Rashi, meaning a sentence in Rashi that starts with the words "Dekevan Deshakil Dami," which would be four lines down from the top of the page in Rashi on Chav Zayin Amid Beis. So this Rashi on Chav Zayin Amid Beis disturbs the mind of Rabbi Kiveger, and he says the following: the Rashi says, "Kevan Deshakil Dami." Once the money was received for the sale of the Beis HaKnesses, Umayli La B'Kedusha Ma'ula, and the monies were used for a high level of Kedusha. Now let's go back to the Lokeach. Kol Deboi Lokeach Ovid. The Lokeach could do whatever he wants with the Beis HaKnesses. Chutz Midali Dvarim Kedektani Seifa. If Seifa, meaning in the next Mishnah, the second Mishnah, it says, in the name of the Chachamim, Mochrim Oso, Mimkar Olam Chutz Mi Arba Dvarim Lemerchatz Leburski Letvila Ulebeis Hamayim. So what bothers Rav Kiveg? Tamuali, Divrei Rashi L'Kamon Chav Zayin Amid Beis, Divrei Masra Rabbanan, the Kevan the Shakil Dami Umayla Lehu B'Kedusha. Once the sale was effectuated and the monies that were received were used for a high level of Kedusha, then Rashi says that Kol Deboi Lokech Ovid. So Rav Kiveger asks the following question. He says, Mimonafshach, what are we dealing with? Let's try both possibilities. Im b'machor b'maimen anshei ha'ir, if it was sold with all the conditions necessary b'maimen ma'atir, lo tzarech la'alos dom v'kedusha, why would Rashi say that you have to be Maila Domin B'Kedusha? After all, Rashi says here on Daf Chavav and Aleph, two lines up from the bottom, that if it was B'Maimed Anshei Ha'ir, Paka Kedusha Asa Min HaChefetz U'Min HaDomin, so you can do with the Domin as you please, and that means you can even buy beer. So why is Rashi saying here that Maila Lehu B'Kedusha Ma'ula, right? That you have to use the Domim for a high level of Kedusha. Why is that necessary? If it was B'Maimed Anshei Ha'ir, then he could do it the Domim because Paka Kedusha So Min HaDomim Min HaChefetzu Min HaDomim. He says, V'Afal Pichen HaLokeach Mai Deboi Ovid Do Beis HaKnesses Yotzei L'Chulin V'Amos Mutva Filu Mishte Beis Shikra. Now I'm not sure what he means by Afal Pichen. If anybody has an idea, I would leave out those words and I would read it V'Alokeach My Deboi Ovid. The Lokeach can do whatever he wants with the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because since it was sold to Maimad Anshei Ha'ir, she says here on Daf Chav Vav, is Pacha Kedusha Min HaChefetz. It's a Pacha Kedusha Min HaChefetz, then the Lokeach should be able to use it in any way he chooses. B'chol Mai Deboi Ovid. I don't know what the Afal Pichen in Reb Kiveg is, that I'm not sure about. And here, Rashi says, on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Chutz Midal Advarim, which means that there is still Kedusha to the Beis HaKnesses. Well, let's try the other possibility. The other possibility is that Rashi's talking about a case of B'maimad Anshei Ha'ir. I'm sorry. The other possibility is to say that it was Shalom B'maimad Anshei Ha'ir. Is Afim Ma'ilim B'domim B'kedusha Mikoma Koma Beis HaKnes B'kedusha also Kaime? In other words, why does Rashi say that after he was Ma'ilim B'domim the Beis HaKnesses is Koma de Kol de Boy Lokech Ovid Chutz Midal Dvar. What do you mean Chutz Midal Dvar? Forget about Dal Dvar. He's not allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses for anything but a Beis HaKnesses, because Bikdush is also Kaime. So let's go over Rabbi Kivega's Kasha one more time. What is Rashi talking about on Chav Zayin Amid Beis? If he's talking about a case where the Mechira was effectuated by Maimon Anshei Ir, then why does Rashi require Malalei B'Kedusha, that the Damim have to be Ola B'Kedusha? After all, Rashi here on Daf Chavav says if it was sold by Maimon Anshei Ir, then Pokah Kedusha Menachetzim Min HaDamim. Ela what? Al Kochenu, Rashi's talking about a case where there weren't Anshe, there wasn't effectuated b'mayim and Anshe Ir. No, if that be the case, I'm sorry, I'm going over this one more time. What was the first possibility? If the first possibility was, right, Elo, what Rashi must be talking about a case where there was no mayim and Anshe Ir, right? And therefore Rashi requires Ma'ali Le'dom B'Kedusha. If that be the case, then the Beis HaKnesses, likewise, without Anshe Ir, remains B'Kedusha also Kaimei. And if it remains B'Kedusha so Kaime, then what does Rashi mean when he says Kol the boy Lokech Ovid? So again, if it was B'mai Ben Anshei Ir, I understand very well Kol my the boy Lokech Ovid, because the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is Paka. But then why does Rashi say Malilo B'Domin? The Kedusha Ma'ula. And if on the other hand you're going to tell me that there was no Anshei Ir, and therefore it's Ma'alei B'Kedusha Be'ula, so then the Beis HaKnesses remains B'Kedusha also. So what's Rashi mean? Chutz Midal Advarim. Chutz Midal Advarim means Dal Advarim Shel Bizayon. But now the Beis HaKnesses has a full-fledged Kedusha. That's Rabbi Kivega's cash. So I have here a Sefer which was published by Rabbi Menachem Gnat Shlita called Shi'urei HaRav. And he has an essay called In Yonei Kedushas Beis HaKnesses.
By the way, there is available.
If you can hold on to this.
There's apparently available now the Haggadah of the Rav, that's in Hebrew. I saw that in Pomeranz the
other day. Okay, so I'm not sure what that is. I mean, the Rav never wrote a Haggadah, I don't think.
But there's a collection of.
Because Yossi Lichtenstein put together. Okay.
No, this is something else.
Okay. I'm sure they added
Nachum Gnack, so he was the one who
edited it. Okay. So you'll see on page, what is it, Shin Gimel. You see a page Shin Gimel?
Yes.
So he starts by quoting our Sugya. He quotes our Rashi. And then in the third paragraph of Hine, he says that according to Chachamim, even after the Mechira, lo paka mimenu kedushaso legamre. Because the Chachamim say that the buyer is not allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses for four different things. Bursaki, Tvila, Beis Hamayim, Merchatz, etc. Klomar, the afal gav de mutar limkar Beis HaKnesses, also lishtamish boliar b'dvarim anal shem tashmish b'zoyer. Now watch what's going on here. Rav Soloveitchik is classifying these four tashmishim as tashmishei bizayon, and I think he's already setting us up for a major breakthrough here. Meaning that we're not talking about a question of kedusha legamri, of a complete kedusha. If it was a complete kedusha, then there's something called tashmishei chol, which are secular mundane uses that did not come under the category of bizayon. And they should be asur, but apparently that those tashmishei chol per se, if there's no bizayon element, is mutter. Why? Because to some extent the mechira removes the kedusha, but lo paka mimenu kedusha legamre. So the vestige of kedusha, even after the sale of the Beis HaKnesses, generates an isur tashmishei bizayon. Hare muchach the gamli achar mechira drora. I call it a vestige. The kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is eres bimkoma. Dim lokein, lomaye aser b'tashmish shel bizayon. So the fact that there is a remnant of iser tashmish shel bizayon in Beis HaKnesses means there must be a remnant of the Kedusha, but the Mechira does remove the Kedusha, but not Legamre. V'chidish Rava, and Rava says that kol zehu im nimkar beis haknesses shaloh yidei shiva tuva ir. Avol nimkar beis haknesses yidei shiva tuva ir, b'maymen anshei ir, is then paka kedushaso legamre. So that's what Rashi says here, two lines up from the bottom, that if it was sold v'maimar anshei ha'ir and the tuvei ha'ir etc. Poka kedusha v'nachefetz min adamin umutal asus mem kol ritzono. And kol ritzono means even a tashmish shel bizayin, because poka kedusha asa legamre. Okay, so far so good. V'adamim yotzim l'chulin, and then you can again, you know, you can do with the damim whatever you want, and that's why Rava says that you can take the damim and you can buy shechar, and you can take the area, the location of the Beis HaKnesses, and you could plant fruits there. That's the girsa that we saw in the Bach. Klomar demutal hotzi adam l'chulin. To buy sheikhar, v'lo tzarch li lidamim. Gam mutul mishta pei perak. Kedushas makom beis hamikdash paka umutul shtamish v'lo tashmish shel bizayon. So basically, we have two levels here. We have a level of selling a beis haknesses shel kfarim without maimad anshei ha'ir, without the two conditions, and that beis haknesses, that sale will only remove part of the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, not totally, it's not a full job, and they have a Tashmish Shel Bizayon is also, but if it was sold b'maimen anshei ha'ir, tuvei ha'ir manch, then it's completely paka, and mutul ishtam, right, that's what he says on the top of the page, paka Kedusha Shel Legamre, and then mutul ishtamish bo afilu Tashmish Shel Bizayon. And that vestige of Kedusha engenders an Issa Tashmish Shel Bizayon. And you have to take the Domim and you have to Imala B'Kedusha. And the reason for all of this is because despite the sale of the Beis HaKnesses, the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses still remains. To some extent, of course, right? We called it the vestige. And now the Rav asks I call it the $64,000 question here. What is the point of Shiva Tuveir and Maimon Anshei? Why does that effectuate a Mechira? Again, we're saying even the absence of those conditions, the Mechira is permissible and it does remove the Kedusha to some extent. So what happens? What's this magic, this formula of Shiva Tuveir with Maimon Anshei? Now, at this point, he quotes Rabbi Kiveger, and Rabbi Kiveger ends up with Vitzarech Iyun Gadol. So you're on the top left. Okay. Now, if in the second side of Rabbi Kiveger, that you'll see it on this page, in the last line, on the right column, you see below Maimon Anshei Ha'ir, right? This was the second possibility that Rabbi Kiveger raised, that Rashi on Chav Zayin Amud Beis is addressing the case where there was no Maimon Anshei Ha'ir. Af im Maimon Adov v'Kedusha mikol kama beis knesses b'Kedusha se'kai. In other words, Rabbi Kiveger's premise here, and that's what leads him to a Tzarchi and Gadol, is that Rashi, when he says that Lokeach koma de boy of it, that's intolerable. I can't understand that, says Rabbi Kiveger. What do you mean, koma de boy of it? Chutz mi tashmish shel bizayon. If we're saying that in the absence of maimed anshei ha'ir, there's no afkas kedusha, so if there's no afkas kedusha, then you have to retain the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. What do you mean? You're allowed to do anything you want with it? Rashi says, "Kol by the boy lokech of it, except for the tashmish shel bizayon." What do you mean, except for the tashmish? Rabbi Kiveger understood that if this mechira does not undermine the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, and the proof is that the domim themselves now have to be subject to the condition, the restriction of ma'alim v'dom v'kedusha. So then why does Rashi? How does Rashi justify saying that the Beis HaKnesses is yotza mikedusha? So and kol ma deboy lokeach ovid. And Rashi here on Daf Chavov Amud Aleph says ubeis hakneses b'kedushaso omed. Right, that's in the case where there was no maimed ansha ear. This doesn't make any sense. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests the following, and you'll see this on the bottom two lines of a paragraph that starts Vinira. Do you have such a paragraph, Vinira?
Yeah.
So on the bottom two lines, the Rav says the following. Amachira matira tashvish shel chol, avalo tashvish shel bizoyon. This is going to be the key to unlock the mystery of the sugya. Meaning, if there was anshe ha'ir, then pocket kedushas legamri. But if the mechira was done without the maimed anshe ha'ir, then although the mechira is meaningful and permissible, but it only effectuates a partial afkas hakedusha. And here's where the Rav says we make a distinction between A, tashvish shel chol, and B, tashvish shel bizoyon. As far as tashvish shel chol is concerned, the mechira was meaningful, was effective to remove the kedusha of beis hakneses, and therefore tashvish shel chol is mutter. However, there still is some vestige, as we said before, and therefore tashvish shel bizoyon is asur. So again, quickly skim through this entire paragraph, because I tried to save time by fast-forwarding to the bottom of the paragraph, but you'll see that the Chachomim say that as a result of the sale of the Beis HaKnesses, you still have an Iser tashvish shel bizoyon. So Rav Soloveitchik says, because lo paka kedusha shel Beis HaKnesses legamri, there's some vestige of kedushas Mokom HaMikdash, Mokom HaBeis Knesses, even after the Mechira. The Mechira goes only so far as to remove the Kedusha for Tash Mishel Chol, but we still have a vestige of Kedusha that genders an Iser Tash Mishel Bizoyon. And in the next paragraph, he gives two examples. Where do we find some parallel in the world of Halacha? We find it, number one, in the case of a Zevach, that became a Balmum, that's called Psuya Mekdashim, and it has Kedush Saguf, but now, as a result of the Mum, the Kedush Saguf is on a different level, a different quality, such that now Pidyon could effectuate a transfer of the Kedush Saguf, but yet the Kedush Saguf still remains, even after the Pidyon, and therefore hence it's also Begiz of Avodah. And he says a similar thing we find in the Sugya Nedarim, with regard to konomos, there's such a man who says yesh pidyon v'konomos, so that if I take a konom, let's say I say kikar zu alai b'konom, and I'm enjoined from benefiting from it, I can do a pidyon according to that man Omar. But nevertheless, that pidyon is not a complete pidyon. There'll still be certain restrictions with regard to this konom. And then he points out, almost in a footnote on the side, that all this discussion about some vestige of Kedusha after Pidyon, that's only with regard to Kedusha's Damim, but when that's only with regard to Kedusha's Aguf, but in Kedusha's Damim, what we call Berek HaBayis, the Pidyon's Mafkil Gamri HaKedusha. So we have two categories of Pidyon. We have Pidyon and Kodshi Aguf, Liachra Shenofel Mamum, and there the pidyon is only a partial removal of the kedusha. There's still a vestige of kedusha in the guf. And then as kedusha is dominant, where the pidyon completely is mafkia any vestige of kedusha whatsoever. Now, if we apply this structure to its parallel in mechiras beis hakneses, we could have A and B. We could have a mechira that effectuates only a partial pidyon of the kedusha, but there's still vestige of kedusha, like we saw in pidyon and kedusha guf after nafal bamum. And then we could have a mechira that completely is mafkia the kedusha of the beis hakneses, leaving absolutely no vestige of kedusha. And that's like let's say for example pidyon and kedusha as domin. Now, which kind of pidyon, which mechira effectuates a complete pidyon, and which an incomplete pidyon, that's going to depend on tuvei ha'ir. If it's going to be b'maimet tuvei ha'ir, etc., etc., then it's a full-fledged pidyon, like we saw in Kedushas Damim, and there's no vestige of Kedushas the Beis HaKnesses.
That's right.
Right. So that's Paka Kedusha Lagamre. And then again on the top of the page that we just read in this article, Paka Kedusha Lagamre Mutul Shtabishbo Aflatash Michel Bizayim. So that's a case of a complete pidyon leaving absolutely no vestige of Kedusha. Why? Because it was done b'mayma tuvei ha'ir. Then you have another kind of mechira, which is only going to be matir, tashmish shel chol, but not tashmish shel bizayin, I mean, lo paka kedusha legamre, and that parallels what we saw in a pigeon of kedusha guf le'achas shenofel b'mum, and that leaves a vestige of kedusha. Now, do you have page Shin Hei? I don't know if I photocopy. Yes, you do. So he quotes the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Milchas Tefillah, and the Rambam there is talking about the mechira of a beis knesses shel kfarim. And the Rambam says that as a result of this mechira, what you have is a tnai, meaning a limitation in the rights of the lokeach who buys this base knesset shel kfarim. And the Rambam says, tzrichim lahasnel sal lokeach shelo lasel sal solo merchatz lo bursuki, etc., etc. And why is that? So you'll take a look, fast forward to a paragraph that says Hare on the left side, Haramam chilek bein mechiras beis haknesses stam below shiva tuvei'ir maimon anshei ha'ir. That's the first case in the Rambam where the Rambam adds the condition that tzorach la'asnel salokesh lo la'asnes lo merchatz lo bursuki lo beis ha'tfil lo beis ha'mayim. Then the Rambam at the end of that halacha says v'im hisnu shiva tuvei'ir maimon anshei ha'ir. B'shas mechira, shehei alokech mutu lasos bo kol elu, meaning all of these tashmishim, even though the tashmishim shall be zoyon mutar. So we see that if they sold the Beis HaKnesses, again we're talking about a Beis HaKnesses shel kfarim, below shiva tuvei'ir, the mechira is matir, tashmish shel chol, but it's not mafkir the kedusha legamre, and it parallels the pidyon of behema shabbat balas mumin kodshim, kedusha gu, and therefore it's also l'shtamish bo tashmish shel bizayin, but im machru al yidei shiva tuvei'ir, b'maymen anshei ha'ir, havi afkos kedusha v'shem beis knesses legamre. It's a complete total afka, and therefore you're even allowed tashmish shel bizayon kigol lemishtak beperol lemizre. Lefizeh yesh l'taritz mashehikshav kiveger al Rashi. Now we have an understanding of Rashi. Rashi holds that a beis haknesses, so we talk about shelo b'maimon shiva ir, is afliachem machira b'kedushal so omed, and that's going to generate an iser of tashmish shel bizayon. Okay, this you don't have. I'll just read it to you. Humishum dal yidea mechira huter tashmish chol. When Rashi says kol deboi lokeach ovid, what he's referring to is tashmish al chol. That's the insight of Rav Soloveitchik. Because this mechira, since it wasn't in the presence of Shiva Tuvayir, etc., therefore it's only a partial pinyon, which allows the lokeach to use the Beis HaKnesses for tashmish shel chol, but nevertheless the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses still is retained, and therefore you need to take the damim to mila v'kedusha, and the lokeach is not allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses for arba dvarim. He has another Rashi, Dibra Maskel Chilufei Uzvune, I don't know if you have that Rashi. And Rashi says, Chala Kedusha al Achiluf or al Adomim v'yotza min HaKedusha l'shtamish bo. Rashi doesn't say Paka Kedusha. Rashi says Yotza min HaKedusha. What's the difference between Paka Kedusha and Yotza min HaKedusha? That Yotza min HaKedusha means that some of the Kedusha was removed, but Adayim Kedusha Kayemis. There's only a heter Hishtamshus for Tashmishei Chol. Now, this is what I call Roman numeral number one of this essay, and Baruch Hashem, we have now a solid ground. Again, the Nekudas HaTorpa here, the catch 22 is that you have to accept, so to speak, a qualification in the words of Rashi, that when Rashi on Daf Chav Zayinu and Beis says that Kol Deboy Lokech Ovid, you have to add Tashmish Shel Chol. But again, Rashi has already committed us to Mali Le Kedusha with the Domim. You have to be Mali Kedusha, which means that we're talking Shalom in Maimon Shivatu Be'ir. And it means that there's still Kedusha to the Beis HaKnesses. So the Domim that you received in lieu of the Beis HaKnesses have Kedusha to them. And therefore you need Mali B'Domim B'Kedusha Ma'ula. However, what did the Mechir effectuate on behalf of the Lokeach? I mean, it's a valid mechira. The answer is that the lokech is allowed to use the base knesset for tashmish shel chol. But again, since there's still a kedusha left in the base knesset, that generates an isur tashmish shel bizoyin. That's Roman numeral number one in this essay. Now, Roman numeral number two, which is, I would say, the next 40% of the essay, that's about this concept called Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. And he writes the following. We don't have time to do this now. We'll do it B'li Neder tomorrow. But he says, B'ach dina de Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'maymen anshe yitzorach iyun Harei l'chora Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir Heim shluchei ha'kahal U'boi koach shel ha'tzibur. They are the duly represented leaders or representatives of the city. In came the Eishkan Maimed Anshe Ha'ir, Ma Mosif, why do we add another condition? Tzorkam Shiva Tuve Ha'ir. I'm sorry, just one second. Hare Lechora Shiva Tuve Ha'ir Eim Shluche HaKol. Oh, he's asking the following. Why do we need the Shiva Tuve Ha'ir? They only represent the call. If we already have Maimed Anshe Ha'ir, Yeshkan Maimed Anshe Ha'ir, Ma Mosif, the Tzorch Shegam Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. Ma Adifus Yesh Le Shaliach Me'am Mishaleach. In other words, you have the Mishaleach here. Why do you need the Shaliach? That's his question. So basically, the Roman numeral number two, what I call the Hakofa Bet here of this essay, is to try to understand this duality, this dual function. You have the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, they function in one capacity, and you have the Rov Anshe Ha'ir in another capacity, but Maimon Anshe Ha'ir in another capacity. So what are the two capacities? What do they each accomplish?
Okay, so I understand in terms of the Rav you were saying, in terms of, is there a nafkamina between, if it were the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir or the Anshe Ha'ir, if they were the ones that sold it individually? In other words, if the Anshe Ha'ir sold it, is it different if the Anshe Ha'ir sold it than the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir?
So far we don't know that there's a difference. What we know is that you need both A plus B.
Maybe that's where there's a difference. Maybe there's a difference that Rashi's bringing out that we didn't realize. There's a difference between those two. They may not have the same
Shiva. But Ash, I think what we're going to need to do, in my humble opinion, is that we're going to have to understand on a more profound level, what exactly is Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir? What do they accomplish? And once we have the Maimon Anshe Ha'ir, what is the purpose of Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir? Once we understand those two, I'm hoping that'll open up new vistas for us, and we can see maybe you have one without the other. Maybe it accomplishes X and not Y.
I went to a shul meeting before.
Okay,
no, but actually, it's true. So if the board makes a decision, and if it's a really big thing, then everybody has to vote on it.
The Rav is talking more in halachic concepts. He's going to talk about shutfis. He's going to talk about bailas. He's going to talk about kedusha. He's going to talk about stalker. This is a very profound sugya. So B'li Neder, hopefully, we'll be able to touch on that tomorrow.